Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, so David, all right, who is the sheriff? Who's the new sheriff of ethics in Helena?
So we now know Montana Senate President Senator Matt Regeer is the ethics sheriff in Helena for three reasons, I guess. Number one, he's been completely and totally exonerated of all ethics concerns with respect to, he spent like $4,000 on an attorney last legislative session. And we were talking during the break. It's like, look, if I'm Senate President Matt Regeer, yeah, I do want my own lawyer advising me. And I want a conservative lawyer advising me. And I think that's totally appropriate. Frankly, maybe we ought to think about having our Senate Republican leadership have full-time lawyers helping them that's in addition to the legislative services lawyers that draft bills. But anyways,
totally agree on that front. I think we want our elected officials to have the power, not the bureaucracy, not some unelected lawyer or some unelected bureaucrat. So maybe we do need to add funding in so they get their own loyal, dedicated support staff like a general counsel. I totally agree with you on that
right.
point.
So not only is he totally cleared on that, so he's clean as a whistle, like he's totally cleared ethically. But not only that, but he actually is the one that actually reported at Jason Ellsworth to the Legislative Audit Division, and that was, from all appearances, unethical. But then also, second, he also is the one that scrutinized the lottery loophole that allowed a contract with the Montana Lottery to be renewed without a bidding process, and this has been reported by the Montana Free Press. Senator Ken Bogner is the one. President pro tempore Ken Bogner proclaimed Regeer the ethics sheriff. So now we know. If you got ethics concerns about Helena, Matt Regeer is the guy to go to,
because
Matt Regeer is on the spot with the ethics issues. His ethics are unreproachable. I mean, he's got awesome ethics. And then he's also looking out and making sure everybody else is following the ethics rules up there in Helena. So any ethics concerns, you go to Matt Regeer. He's the most ethical senator, and he is looking out for the ethics rules.
Well, it was so obvious when this initial report came out from this liberal news source that, Senate President Matt Regeer accused of ethics. Okay, so this guy over here had an actual ethics investigation going, which he's now basically apologized for, whether you believe it was a sincere apology or not. He did apologize for it on the floor of the state Senate. Ellsworth did, right? But because he got accused, because their guy got accused of an ethics investigation, well, we're going to accuse your guy of an ethics investigation, too. It was so blatantly obvious. And so, yeah, now you have this legislative audit report, which, again, these are separate. These aren't people that were hired by Matt Regeer or hired by, you know, Speaker Brandon Lear, and that who has cleared him of any of these allegations. But see, the Democrats and the anti-Regeer faction and the liberal media, they just wanted the headline. Senate President accused of ethics violation. They just wanted the headlines. They didn't care what the facts were. And that's why it's like, come on, guys. Like, get your Adam Schiff together. Stop fighting each other and move on. Get
Amen.
Some tax relief across the finish line.
Amen.
Judicial reform.
Amen.
Let's keep preaching. I know you got something to preach about. Stand by, dude.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine in the area today and some increasing clouds late as well. High temperature readings will range from around 66 in Bozeman to near 80 in Billings. For tonight, with some cloud cover, a few isolated showers possible. Lows from the upper 30s in Bozeman to the upper 40s in Billings. Then on Friday, there's a chance for showers with highs in the mid-50s to around 60. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Jeffrey Goldberg, the Atlantic's editor-in-chief, called the Trump administration's bluff. After all the back and forth about the use of Signal, an encrypted app, how he was mistakenly added and got all of the war information, war plans, attack plans, whatever you want to call it, that Vice President Vance and Secretary Pete Hegseth and others were putting out, he posted, after calling for comment, Goldberg posted the actual text that showed that the attack on Yemen, on the Houthis terrorist group, was in fact shared with him inadvertently. And still, others are saying, well, it wasn't really a big deal. It's a semantic game now. Goldberg called for comment and posted the info. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
Spring.
Montana Talks, where you get the mic. Call in now at 406-294-0970. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Yeah, great to have David Noble here with us in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. I was chatting off air with David. I was like, man, we got such a busy lineup today. But part of the, you know, and it's great having guests on the show, but sometimes when you have a guest on, you know, you're talking about the topic that the guest is here to talk about, and then you don't get to talk about all the other, you know, cool, interesting stories that we want to talk about. But with David Noble, we get to cover all the cool, interesting stories and then hear his expert insight and analysis.
And take
at the
phone
same
calls.
Time.
And we're taking phone calls.
And we're taking your phone calls as well. So you get to jump in on the conversation. So, yeah, it's a great time. I forget what story we were even going to get to next. Oh, let's start with tax reform, if you don't mind, David. So this was another story that I wanted to get on our Montana Talks website last night because I wanted to have it ready to roll for today. Plus, there's a big rally at the Capitol in Helena tomorrow. Before I share what I wrote and the message that I got from our friend Greg Franks, David, I'm interested in your take on this. Because to me, you know, there's been a lot of talk this week about the divided Republican caucus in Helena. And we've been calling out, you know, some of the Republicans, why are you voting for that? Why are you voting against this? Why are you voting for that? What the heck, guys? Come on now. If there is one issue that should be the easiest issue for Republicans to vote for and to unite around, if the GOP in Helena could really use a little unity, this to me is the easiest thing. Aside from, you know, protecting women's sports, lowering income taxes. Across the board income taxes. Don't play the Democrats game of, well, I want to target this class of people with income tax. No, that's what the Democrats will do because they want to charge, you know, you and you and you at a much higher percentage. No, across the board income tax relief, just like you did last session, just like you did the session before. That's what we want to see. That's what the governor is basically backing. And AFP Montana and the governor are going to be having a rally tomorrow at the Capitol in Helena to pitch just that, across-the-board income tax relief.
Well, look, I certainly agree with all of that. I hope they get it passed, done. I mean, I've been fairly disappointed just in terms of watching the legislature and what's going on. It's obviously been a disappointment, I think, for me and for probably a lot of other folks. But if we can get something like that, like permanent income tax relief, property tax relief, that's fantastic. Of course, you know, my concern with, you know, of course, the whole property tax relief thing resulted in this whole blow up about everybody saying, well, you're just moving the cups around and you're just transferring it from one class of people to another. And there's some truth to that. If you lower the rate for residential property taxes, then you obviously have to increase the rate on ag and commercial.
Well, you don't have to, but that's what they'll do at the local level oftentimes. Yeah.
Right. Well, and that's where I'm going with this. And so like with the income tax, too, and what you're talking about there. And it's like, OK, I'm all in favor of lowering income taxes. I'm all in favor of lowering property taxes. But are we just shifting the burden around here? Or are we actually giving genuine relief? And then you see the city of Billings come out and say, well, hey, every other city is going to be able to not have their revenue reduced by just transferring it or increasing the mills. But Billings is all upset because we have a mill increase cap and they can't do it. And so I'm like, hold on. We also need to focus on the other side of the coin here where if – here's where I'm going with this. If we're going to lower income taxes, okay, does that mean that we can't do as much on property taxes? Because at some point, the government's got to have revenue, and we're not addressing the spending side of the state level or the city level, as far as I can see. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not seeing any news articles out of Helena about budget cuts, about spending cuts. I'm not seeing anything about spending cuts. In fact, what we're mostly seeing are spending increases and $300 million here for mental health and blah, blah, blah. And so what I would like to see is not only at the city and the county level, but at the state level, is actually spending reductions such that if we do cut income taxes, it's not like, okay, we can't cut property taxes now because we cut income taxes and whatever small percentage of property taxes goes to the general fund. Now we need that because we cut income taxes and the states or the cities and counties are saying, well, we still have the same spending requirements as before and our spending is still going to go up. But so, yeah, you cut the rate on homestead property taxes, but we're going to have to increase the mills. And so you can cut the rate, but if you increase the mills, it's still the same amount.
For property taxes, yeah, that's why. No, this is a really good point that David's making here, because this is why, I think income tax relief, lowering the tax rate for all is so huge, because at the end of the day, okay, I fully believe that despite all the consternation and the different proposals, I think the legislature will pass and the governor will sign a significant property tax relief bill at the state level. But as David is pointing out here, what's going to stop Missoula or Bozeman from saying, oh, yeah, I know the state wanted to cut your property taxes by whoosh. Sorry, you're still going to pay more in property taxes, because most of that is controlled and driven at the local and county level. But that's why, again, I think this – but when you look at across-the-board income tax relief, there's no tinkering with
that's
that.
That's a good point. I like
Missoula
that.
Or Billings.
Totally.
Right? Like,
yeah.
We get that relief from the state. We get that relief from the state. There's no city, tinkering with it, right?
I love that. And frankly – it's awesome. I mean, I'd love to see the our income taxes and the business equipment tax. I know you were talking to Evelyn Pyburn about the business equipment tax and how absurd that is. Get these taxes down so every 2 years when we're going into a legislative session, the government in Helena isn't holding $1 billion or $2 billion or $3 billion of excess tax revenues. That, I mean, they need to get their stuff figured out to where they don't have these huge surpluses, which is our money that they took from us that they didn't need.
You stuttered for a second there. You almost used a John Jackson bad word. He's like, they need to get their stuff together. That's why we just do Adam Schiff.
Hey, you gotta
get your Adam Schiff together.
Hey, I try to be put together here on the radio. If you want to really see me unleashed, you can find me on Twitch.
I told John, I said, John, man, you're going all David Noble. You're going David Noble Twitch on us right now.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
When a topic turns to power planning, a word that gets used frequently is we. We could do this. We should do that. But power generation is a fantastically capital-intensive enterprise. The we is not you or I. Aside from a few federal government projects like TVA or Bonneville, it's companies and businesses who are pulling the trigger on projects, investing, and building capacity. And those companies require a profit to make those kinds of financial commitments pencil out. As an economist, I say that's not a bug, it's a feature. Solar power is cheap, but it's also intermittent. It needs something else to make it work. That something might be some kind of power storage, like a battery, or it might be a conventional generator, like a gas turbine, to run when solar is diminished or absent. We need that. But if solar power became bigger, it will dominate gas generation during the day, shortening the time that the gas generator can make money. We might need it, but will it get built? I'm Patrick Buckey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
Jeffrey Goldberg, the Atlantic's editor-in-chief, called the Trump administration's bluff. After all the back and forth about the use of Signal, an encrypted app, how he was mistakenly added and got all of the war information, war plans, attack plans, whatever you want to call it, that Vice President Vance and Secretary Pete Hegseth and others were putting out. He posted, after calling for comment, Goldberg posted the actual text that showed that the attack on Yemen, on the Houthis terrorist group, was in fact shared with him inadvertently. And still, Others are saying, well, it wasn't really a big deal. It's a semantic game now. Goldberg called for comment and posted the info. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.
It's tax day. You can get a break from filing, but you do have to pay. I'm Jenny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
I'm Benjamin Hall, Fox News senior correspondent and New York Times bestselling author. Join me every Monday on my podcast as I speak with silent but noteworthy heroes. Make sure you subscribe to my podcast, Searching for Heroes with Benjamin Hall, wherever you download podcasts, and leave a rating and a review.
Not ready to file your taxes? Carl Breedlove, lead tax research analyst with the Tax Institute at H&R Block, says you can file with the IRS for an extension.
Simply filing the paperwork and sending it in, you'll get that automatic six-month extension, and that'll give you until October 15th to file that return.
However, you still need to pay the IRS.
Estimate the amount of money that you'll owe and pay at least 90% of that.
There is both a failure to file penalty and a failure to pay penalty. Jenny Cosola, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks ag with Lane Nordland.
Yesterday, the confirmation hearing for Brian Nesvik to lead the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service was held in Washington, D.C. Nesvik recently retired as the director of the Wyoming Game and Fish Department. U.S. Senator John Barrasso of Wyoming shared this testimony at the hearing.
Over the last 4 years, politics has driven much of the agency's decisions rather than following the science. For example, the greater Yellowstone ecosystem population of grizzly bears has been fully recovered for 20 years. Republican administrations, Democratic administrations, all agreed for 20 years. Grizzly bear fully recovered. In my home state of Wyoming, we are proud of its lead role in leading this recovery and investing over $50 million to this end. Brian Nesvik played a large role in advocating for Wyoming and advancing these policies.
Nesvik shared these comments during his confirmation hearing.
I cherish the opportunity to build a strong track record working with ranchers, farmers, sportsmen and women, tribes, and all people who care about natural resources. These people, citizens of our great nation, are the ground level of our government and the foundation of the mission of the service and my personal leadership mission. Respecting values, building effective teams, communicating candidly and transparently, leading by example, and treating all people with dignity and respect are the core tenets of my leadership commitment.
Nesvik's nomination to lead the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service is expected to sail through committee and be approved by the U.S. Senate in the coming weeks. I'm Lane Nordland.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's go into the phone lines here. 406-294-0970. If you want to jump in on the conversation, the great David Noble in the house here in the 7 o'clock hour of the show. We got Kevin in Billings, and it looks like he wants to talk about a topic that David and I were wanting to talk about, too, because we were chatting about it off air. Kevin, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
So, House Bill 275, the driver privilege card, that did pass third reading, 51-48. It was interesting to see who voted yes. Larry Brewster was a yes vote.
I saw that.
John Fitzpatrick was a yes vote. Then there's a Frank and Melissa. Boy, I'm not going to say their Latin.
Are you thinking Nikolakakos?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. The Nikolakakos is. Yeah, they're two Great Falls Republicans, considered the more moderate, I think, Republicans out of Great Falls. Yeah, I saw Larry Brewster.
I thought Larry Brewster would be someone to reach out to because I thought Larry's pretty, you know, it'd be interesting to see what Larry's take on this is and why he was a yes vote and what some of the other issues are that we're maybe not hearing. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I agree because Larry's a really smart guy. Larry Brewster was a Billings City Council member. And, in fact, in the early days of this show, in the early years of this show, we'd have him on once a week just talking city council issues and things like that. And then, of course, he ran for the legislature. Really smart guy. And you know, and what I like about Larry Brewster is if he, you know, made
a vote that he later felt was a bad decision, he'll come out and say, yeah, I was wrong on that one, or I was right on that one, or whatever. And so he's just a real thoughtful guy. Because on the face of it, this whole driver privilege card thing that we've been talking about over the past few days, I know John Jackson covered it yesterday, I covered it earlier in the week, and Jody Etchart, Representative Jody Etchart out of Billings, said she believes that this, you know, 275 would basically create a driver's license for illegal aliens. So there's got to be more to this story if some of these people are voting for it. So, yeah, I'm with you, Kevin.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, thanks for the call. Yeah, and David Noble, interestingly enough, actually Larry Brewster, Representative Brewster, is going to be on next hour of this show with Representative Courtney Sprunger. We're going to be talking about housing issues and some other bills, et cetera, but I definitely got to ask him about this one as well, just to say, hey, what's the deal here? I meant to shoot him an email as well, but, man, my schedule's been crazy busy.
You know, what we ought to do is ask Grok, what on earth is a driver's privilege card for illegal? I've never even heard of that before. Like, what? There's no such thing as a driver's privilege. Like, you either have a license to drive or you don't. But, no, I mean, this is a real head-scratcher to me, and I think a real head-scratcher to most Montanans out there. We're sitting here just kind of enjoying our lives, working our jobs. We're going to work every day, and all of a sudden we hear that the Montana legislature is about to give quote-unquote driver's privilege laws to illegals that nobody's ever heard of this before. Something's going on here. I mean, obviously I'm against this. What's bizarre to me is, like, I just see, like, Montana is going in this direction where it's inconsistent with where the country is going. And so you look at all these different issues. This is just one of them. There's two or three others that we all know about that are going on in the Montana legislature, where the Montana legislature is operating inconsistently with where the country is headed. And we put in place the Trump administration to get the illegal aliens out of our country, to enforce immigration laws, and then the legislature does something like this. And then there's a couple other examples like this. And Montana is a conservative state. We're a 20-point Republican state. How on earth are we going to have laws like this and things going on at the, just disappointing. And so hopefully there's something else going on here, and hopefully this isn't going to pass, or, you know, because this sounds just terrible.
So I just asked Grok, which is Elon Musk's AI platform on X, what is the reasoning behind creating a driver's privilege card in Montana? House Bill 275 would create that. So I'll share some of the highlights here in a second. But yeah, looking at this list of some of the Republicans who voted for it, I think there was a 9 or 10 of them. Again, because on the face of it, as Jody Etchart pointed out, it just looks like this is a way to give some sort of a legal privilege, a legal status,
which is
to
what
illegal aliens who should not be here. They should have the privilege to do nothing in this country.
We're going to get ourselves designated a sanctuary state. I mean, this is what sanctuary states do. And what are we could get our federal funding ripped away because we got a sanctuary state. And then we're also now like we're the abortion capital of the Northwest. You realize that, like, everybody now comes to Montana for abortions because we have the wildest, most unrestricted Wild West abortion laws. So now Montana,
thanks to our left-wing Supreme Court, and
this
phony campaigns. Yeah.
I'm getting angry thinking about the fact that Montana is the abortion capital of the Northwest, and now we're a sanctuary state. I'm not happy about that.
Yeah, I hear you. Well, and the bill sponsor is this Representative Ed Staffman, and he's a far-left activist. And just watching some of the things he says and does, he's just a partisan hack who, he just wants to pick fights with people. And so why would you pass? And we're going to, you know, be talking about housing issues and more. That was kind of... Actually, it was legislative staff that reached out. Hey, would you like to get a couple of these lawmakers on talking about housing issues? Yeah, let's do it. But while we have Representative Brewster on, I definitely want to get his take. And I know people want to hear from him on, hey, what's your reasoning for supporting this House Bill 275 to create this driver's privilege card? So let's see. Grok says this. It's House Bill 275, which actually was introduced in the 23 legislative session as well, aimed to create a driving privilege card to address the needs of residents who cannot obtain a standard driver's license, particularly those who may not meet federal identification requirements, such as undocumented immigrants or others without certain documentation.
So it's as bad as it sounds.
It's an illegal alien driver's license is what it is. If you don't meet the requirements to get a driver's license, then you don't get the privilege to drive on our roads. Now, what I'm sure Staffman and the Democrat, and by the way, they can be on the show, and we've got the Democrat House Minority Whip on with us later today, and anybody can call in. But what they'll say is, they'll say this, and Grok kind of hints at this, that, well, David, this is a public safety issue. Because, see, these illegal aliens, you know what they're doing in Bozeman, David? Is
driving wrong ways on the interstate.
Wrong way, drunk on the interstate, and so...
That was the big problem in Youngstown, Ohio, with the Haitian immigrants. And, you know, everybody was talking about they're eating the dogs and they're eating the cats, but actually what the local residents were actually more upset about was none of them knew how to drive, and they were driving like lunatics all around the town and injuring people. And people's kids had been hit by drivers, and animals had been hit by drivers. And that was really like, hey, you just dropped 30,000 Haitian migrants into our town. And it's like, yeah, we've got some issues with the dogs and the cats. But like the bigger issue here is they don't know how to drive, and yet they're all driving around.
And these were people who were here on a legal status.
Not anymore, though. Trump revoked a lot of the TPS, which was fantastic.
Good. But my point being is that they could have gone through the driver's license process, yet they didn't, and yet they drove anyway. So right. They're arguing now that, well, if we create this driver's privilege card, they'll go get tested, and we'll make sure they know how to drive before they drive.
They're going to get arrested by ICE when they like, that's ridiculous.
Well, on top of that, okay, if they can't pass the driver's test, you're telling us that now these illegal aliens who broke into this country illegally, who are already driving without a driver's license. You're telling me that if you give them a driver's privilege card, now they will say, okay, you got me. I'll go get the test. I'll go get the driver's privilege card. Give me a break. The people of Montana are not that stinking gullible.
Yeah, and how much do you bet that there's some NGOs that'll give out grants to these illegals to pay for the little fee that you have to pay when you get your driver's license? So all of us Montanans, we have to pay out of pocket to go get our driver's license, but how much do you want to bet that this little driver's privilege log for illegal aliens is given out for free?
Probably free. That's a great point. Yeah. Is there anything about a cost for this card in there? Oh, it's like the free education for the illegals.
$5 million.
We got to pay for busing.
You're listening to Montana Talks, bringing truth and freedom to Montana. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Oh, David, you know I had to go pull up the song, because when you talked about the Haitian migrants that were, driving the wrong way and causing problems back in Ohio, like the illegal aliens have been, you know, wrong way drunk driving and wreck crashing into people in Bozeman and more. Hey, Representative Staffman, the correct response when illegal aliens are driving the wrong way, drunk on the interstate and wrecking into people, and they don't have insurance. You know, they could go buy insurance. They don't need a special privilege card to go buy insurance, but they're not doing it. So what makes you think that if you gave them a special driver privilege card that they're going to do that and then follow all these other laws that they're not following right now? But when you were talking about the Haitian migrants, I had to go back into our Montana Talks audio archives. This was from Habitually Henry on YouTube.
They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat. Eat the cat. They're eating the dogs. They're eating the cats. Eat the cat.
That was the song playing in the back of my head.
Oh, yeah.
You got to do the Trump dance. You got to get the arms moving on that one.
No, that's an all-time classic. That'll go down in political history, and we will all have been a participant in that little bit of a political history. But, no, I mean, you're absolutely right about expecting these folks to follow the law and follow insurance laws and everything. And, frankly, you bringing up insurance is really an important point, and you're seeing, and I know you've been covering some of these workplace raids by ICE and up in Whitefish, and they're, you know, ICE is out arresting these illegal alien crews on construction job sites, and honestly, their lack of insurance is oftentimes a very, very, very problematic thing for owners. So you may hire one of these companies, you may hire a company that's a local Montana company, But if they subcontract all the work out to an illegal alien crew, which a lot of them do, and then you have 10 illegal aliens show up at your house to do your roof or to do your siding or to do your windows or whatever it is, and none of them speak English, well, guess what? They also don't have insurance, and if something bad happens, guess who's liable? You.
Interesting. Yeah, and you've confirmed that, by the way, that there are companies that were hiring illegal aliens. And then so when that news came out of Big Fork about the, 17, 18 illegal aliens, no surprise to you.
No surprise to me.
No surprise to anybody, frankly.
Remember when the jokester of a Democrat governor candidate criticized Gene Forte for having illegal aliens working on his roof? And I'm just sort of like, dude, are you kidding me? Go find me a roofing crew in this state that's not got illegal aliens on it. And, you know, what was the governor's name? I can't even remember the guy's name. And then, of course, what was hilarious was then all the Democrats accused the Democrat governor of being racist because there was Latinos working on Gianforte's roof, and that Democrat governor candidate simply assumed they were illegal aliens.
Assume they were illegal aliens. Yeah, isn't it funny when the wokesters do the most unwoke stuff imaginable? It's kind of that. In fact, I was thinking of
they
that.
Do it all the time.
That's my candidate for the woke update of the week, Jasmine Crockett. We'll talk about her just a second here, but first let's go to Fred in the Flathead. Fred, what's going on?
Hey guys, I feel like I honestly think I'm listening to California Talk Radio in the late 90s. Prop 187, 1984. California voters overwhelmingly at the ballot box on a proposition denied state benefits to illegal aliens, canceled by a judge. Prop 22, 2000, Defense of Marriage Act, overwhelmingly passed California, canceled by a judge. Montana has four things that are going to fund the revolution of Montana to the left: the abortion industry, immigration, legal weed, and the vagrant shelters. This driver's license thing, they're going to say just what you said. It's public safety. We got to bring a man out of the cold and teach him to drive. That's all it's for. No, it's not going to be that. Our businesses are selling us out. They're going to sell you out. That's how it starts. And then next thing you know, it'll be, well, we need to have, health benefits for the children of illegal aliens. We need to have health benefits for the mothers. Yeah. You know, we need it for everybody. This is how it happens.
I totally agree.
It's being sold out.
It's the camel's nose under the tent. I totally agree. I don't know what a camel sniffing around in the tent sounds like, but it's probably like my beagle when I'm cooking dinner. You know, this is the camel's nose under the tent. I think Fred in the Flathead is exactly right because he saw what it did in California, and he still goes back there and fights fires to this day, by the way.
Yeah.
That's a call, Fred.
Here's my thing. Ultimately, under our system of government, I think ultimate responsibility for what happens with our government goes back to the people and the voters, right? And so, look, I agree with all of the conservatives out there are saying, when you're criticizing the nine in the Montana Senate, saying, hey, look, like we didn't overwhelmingly vote for Republicans so that the Democrats could control the Senate. We just didn't. However, at the same time, the voters are not really, as far as I can tell, nobody's really up in arms about it. Nobody's talking about a recall. Nobody's really talking about a primary. And then you've got bills like this, and it's like, yeah, me and you are raising the alarm, and we've got callers like that caller who's interested in paying attention, but the vast majority of Montanans, they didn't show up to oppose the illegal alien bill. And so we can sit here and criticize, but when the actual voters aren't paying that close of attention. Of course, it's hard to, but it's just easy to blame the politicians all the time when the politicians are really just a reflection of the voters. Yeah. And so if you want change, you've got the voters.
How many people contacted their lawmaker? You know, when Jody Etchar called in Tuesday morning at 9:30 to tell us why that bill needed to be killed on third reading, how many actually contacted their lawmaker? Because I know it'll happen. But, yeah, like I say, maybe they're saying that there's something else to this story. By the way, I just got a response back from ICE, from Immigration and Customs Enforcement at the federal side, because I asked their media folks a question yesterday. Did you see the tweet? Dan Bruner, former FBI Hispanic gang expert, shared this with me. ICE, the Salt Lake City ICE office and the Montana sub office, arrested and deported Roberto Salomon Garcia of Mexico in Deer Lodge, Montana, yesterday. And so at least piecing things together, I'm like, wait a minute, is this the carnival worker who was arrested after groping women at the fair in Great Falls? The other question I had is this guy an illegal alien? Was he in this country illegally when he was groping women at the fair in Great Falls? Because ICE may have just said, hey, he's a convicted sex offender. We're going to take him off of Montana's hands so you and I aren't paying $100 or so a day to house the guy in the prison, and we're going to deport him. So, because he could have been here on a work visa, and that's why, and yet they're still deporting him because he's now a convicted sex offender. But I did just get a response back from ICE, from their spokesperson, Alethea or Aletha Smock, saying that, yes, he is an illegal alien. So I can confirm this guy who was in our prison, who got arrested in Great Falls for groping women at the fair while he was checking their seatbelts, he was an illegal alien that whole time. And we're just now hearing this. None of the news stories that talked about the carnival sex offender mentioned that he was an illegal alien.
You know, with a carnival sex offender like that, I think he ought to be held in prison for life here in the United States, and I don't mind paying for that. Why should he get to go back to his country and walk free when he's a sex offender here? No, I don't care. If you got an illegal alien in this country that does a crime like that to an American woman, I don't mind at all paying to have that guy locked up, because why should he get freedom back in his own home? He's gonna get deported and then have total freedom.
That's my follow up. That's a good point, because now I need to respond. Thanks. Where was he deported to? Was he deported to the prison in El Salvador? Maybe he got deported to the prison in El Salvador.
If he's going to spend the rest of his life in CICOT in El Salvador, I'm fine with that. But if he's going back to, you know, Guatemala or something, and he's going to go back to his hacienda or whatever and have a good life, like, no, he needs to be in prison for the rest of his life if he's committing crimes like that in Montana. And I don't care if I have to pay for it, because I'd rather pay for him to rot in prison for life than to have him go back to his home country and have a wonderful little life.
That's the I Want Holyfield. David Noble from Twitch.tv.
Yeah.
Follow him on Twitch at LectureFan, LCTR fan on X as well.
Hey, no, going back, I wanted to say something earlier, because I think that one caller who was saying about this illegal aliens and the marijuana industry and the homeless industry, and then he was talking about those voters in California voted all those things, they got thrown out by the courts, and voters in Montana vote for all these things, they get thrown out by the courts. And so I could see somebody pushing back and saying, no, it's not really, you can't take all this back to the voters, because the voters actually voted for all of these, like, very, very conservative laws and strict laws, and then they just got thrown out by the courts. Well, the problem is that the voters are actually responsible for the courts, too. And guess what the Montana voters just did? The Montana voters literally just elected, re-elected a justice to the Montana Supreme Court who had voted to invalidate all of the legislature's 2023 laws. And so it does go back to the voters. The voters are the ones that are putting those justices on the courts.
Which is why we need judicial reform, so the voters know actually what they're voting for, right? But which is also why Republicans and conservatives love to spend so much time fighting each other, like they did in the primaries last year, instead of building the army and the air campaign to get Supreme Court justices elected. That's what we really need.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Fox News commentary.
The Snow White live-action remake flopped and flopped hard. I wonder why. I'm Tommy Lahren. More next.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network.
Hey there, it's me, Kennedy. Make sure to check out my podcast, Kennedy Saves the World. It is 5 days a week. Every week, we check in with Jimmy Fallon, bring in authors for the book club, and even treat some of your favorite Fox personalities to a very special happy hour. Download and listen at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Kennedy Saves the World. America is listening to Fox News.
Disney's live-action remake of the 1930s classic Snow White is on track to be one of the biggest flops of the year. It cost more than $270 million to make, but its opening weekend debut amounts to about $43 million domestically. There are many reasons for this, but first and foremost is the obvious. The lead actress, Rachel Zegler, is objectively insufferable. A year before the movie even premiered, Zegler was already ticking people off by not only dumping on the original plot and storyline, but letting the world know she's way woke, anti-Trump, and proud of it. Add that to the woke retelling of the classic story and the fact that the seven dwarves were instead computer-generated, and you've got a big stinker where a cool remake could have been. This should be a giant wake-up call for Disney. The audience for these politically left films is small and getting smaller by the day. Also, perhaps your lead actress demonizing half the country wasn't a winning strategy. Just saying. I'm Tommy Lahren, and you can watch my show, Tommy Lahren is Fearless, at OutKick.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With sunshine in the area today and some increasing clouds late as well. High temperature readings will range from around 66 in Bozeman to near 80 in Billings. For tonight, with some cloud cover, a few isolated showers possible. Lows from the upper 30s in Bozeman to the upper 40s in Billings. Then on Friday, there's a chance for showers with highs in the mid-50s to around 60. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Hey, last week when there was rumor of cartel activity on the Fort Peck Indian Reservation, there were also rumors about something going on in Havre, Montana. Well, now we know why. U.S. Border Patrol Havre Sector confirming on their Facebook page that a U.S. citizen has been arrested for aiding in the smuggling of three Tren de Aragua illegal alien gang members. That's out of Havre, Montana. We've got
days. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, getting some great messages coming in on the Montana Talks app as well. John in Bozeman, how can anyone obtain a Montana driving privilege if they can't read or speak English? No say on that one from me, John. Thanks for the message.
Yeah, how can they read the street signs?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
that's why they're driving the wrong way down the interstate and killing people.
Yeah, well, or like, hey, it's already against the law to be drunk driving, and they're drunk driving wrong way on the interstate. And so you can give them they can go pass, even if they can pass a driver's privilege card test, that doesn't mean they're going to follow the law.
And then they came
to this country violating the law.
And then there was the story about them going out to the bars in downtown Bozeman, and a young lady had left the bar with one, and he ended up sexually assaulting her.
Yeah. Maybe the Montana legislature should institute mandatory cultural awareness training sessions for non-citizens residing in Montana. I mean, give me a freaking break. No, the correct response is, you don't get a driver's privilege card. You get a privilege to deport yourself right now, or ICE is going to come.
Here's the explanation for the bill that I would accept. We're doing this so that we can say that they can come in to apply for the driver's privilege log for illegal aliens. We're going to alert ICE. ICE is going to be there. They're all going to show up. It's just going to be a very convenient way to do a mass arrest of illegal aliens. Cool. I support the bill.
Yeah, that was the theory I pitched to the Joker on Tuesday. I said,
okay.
Maybe this is the illegal alien honeypot where, oh, yeah, hey, guys, come get your driver privilege cards and then meet my buddy who works for Tom Holman. And John was like, no, that ain't how this is going to work.
Right.
It's just like what Fred and the Flathead just said.
Right.
This is a backdoor to install privileges and then protections for illegal aliens. And I think that's exactly why the Democrat is the one backing it. Woke update of the week. We got to go with Jasmine Crockett. This is a crazy
Democrat representative, by the way.
Crazy leftist congresswoman down in Texas. She's a total phony. Here we go.
We in these hot ass Texas streets, honey. Y'all know we got Governor High Wheels down there. Come on now.
Whoa.
And the only thing hot about him is that he is a hot ass mess, honey. So,
All right, there you go. Anyway, Greg Gutfeld had a hilarious segment on
Jasmine Crockett there, because she's now refusing to apologize for mocking a man in a wheelchair as Governor Hot Wheels. I love what Matt Walsh said. Calling him Governor Hot Wheels because he's in a wheelchair is a pretty bold move. A pretty bold move from Congresswoman DEI.
That's horrible. I've seen some video clips of Jasmine Crockett where she's talking, and she does not sound like that at all. And she sounds like a very well-spoken, well-educated individual person. And so I wonder how fraudulent she really is.
Oh yeah, yeah. In fact, if I would have kept playing the video, you would hear it. Let me see here if it's queued up in the right spot.
Now, she claims that she wasn't talking about Abbott's wheelchair at all, yet she's mentioned Abbott's wheels before. In 2022, she posted Beto's rolling around the state. Where is Abbott rolling to? And according to the Washington Free Beacon, Crockett also liked several Facebook comments referring to Abbott as Hot Wheels back in 2021. But is Jazz having an identity crisis? This is her now.
Ted Cruz. I mean, like, this dude has to be knocked over the head, like, hard, right? Like, there is no niceties with him. Mm-hmm. To be clear, free speech is not about whatever it is that y'all want somebody to say. And the idea that you...
But then he plays the clip where she was running for Congress and just had the sweetest, nicest voice ever. That's a fake, phony accent she's been using this whole time.
AOC does the same thing. Hillary Clinton does the same. What's up with these Democrats and the fake accents?
The fake, phony pandering. They're a bunch of rich liberal elites. Well, Crockett is. Hillary was. That, oh, I'm down in the South having my hot sauce. What a bunch of
You know, when I was down in Miami, people thought that I had an accent, and I was just talking like a regular Montanan, but, boy, they thought that was weird.
They thought you had an accent.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's funny. All right, David, thanks for your time.
Yep.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
When a topic turns to power planning, a word that gets used frequently is we. We could do this. We should do that. But power generation is a fantastically capital-intensive enterprise. The we is not you or I. Aside from a few federal government projects like TVA or Bonneville, it's companies and businesses who are pulling the trigger on projects, investing, and building capacity. And those companies require a profit to make those kinds of financial commitments pencil out. As an economist, I say that's not a bug, it's a feature. Solar power is cheap, but it's also intermittent. It needs something else to make it work. That something might be some kind of power storage, like a battery, or it might be a conventional generator, like a gas turbine, to run when solar is diminished or absent. We need that. But if solar power became bigger, it will dominate gas generation during the day, shortening the time that the gas generator can make money. We might need it, but will it get built? I'm Patrick Buckey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.